Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voices of Veterans for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world. At scuttlebuttnetwork.com, you're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps.
Hoorah.
And we are glad that you have joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. We've got a great show coming up for you, but first we want to thank some of our sponsors to make this show possible. We'd like to thank the Battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and Daphne's Hottest Place for Child, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare Lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens. And we'd like to thanks to all of you, our great sponsors and great listeners. We cannot do this without your support. Please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So join the discussion on Facebook for more information on the topics of the day. Now later on SBN, we'll be joined by Mr. Robert Stratton with the Alabama Career Centers. They have a job fair coming up. They want to get the word out to the veterans and their families. And of course, my tirade on Sympathy for the Devil. It's a classic. You don't want to miss it. But first, fresh from the NOVA conference in sunny San Diego, California, we're joined by one of our legal eagles from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Laura Holland. Laura, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans. Did you guys have a good trip?
We had a great trip. It's always a good time when you can get a bunch of people together, especially in a beautiful place like San Diego, and really kind of get down to figuring out how to serve veterans most effectively. So we had a really great time. Spent 3 days in the conference and came back with a lot of information and excited to use it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But now you've discussed with us on a previous show that about the VA has pulled the interim final rule 38 CFR 4.10 out of the impact of medication due to backlash. What is that? What are we talking about?
So there was, I'm sure you heard, there was a lot of talk earlier this year about how the VA was going to evaluate claims differently and take away, basically what the VA said they were going to do was not consider, they were going to consider how the medication impacted, say, if you had a back condition or a knee condition.
Okay.
They were going to rate you based on your pain levels or your functioning levels while you were taking your medication.
Rather than across the board 30, 40, 50% figure or something?
Right. That would be, you know, if you are a 50%, if you're not taking your medication, and if you are taking your medication, you would be a 20%. They're going to rate you at the 20% level.
Okay, okay.
That's what that interim final rule said. It was published in February. It was supposed to be effective immediately, but there was a huge public backlash. The NOVA, National Organization of Veterans Advocates, that we're a part of, they filed a lawsuit. And, you know, it was the talk of a lot of people who were kind of staying on top of these congressional rules and things. And so the VA pulled the regulation. The backlash was just
it was too great
terrible.
For them. Yeah, it overpowered them.
Too
okay.
great for them. So now, you know, if you're without your medication, you would be a 50%. You're going to be rated at a 50%.
Okay.
They're not going to take into effect how that medication impacts your pain level, how that medication impacts.
Well, that's really the way it should be, isn't it?
It is, exactly. It should be. And that's why there was such a huge amount of backlash. And we had veterans calling us when they heard about this. This rule, and they were like, what does this mean? What is this going to do? But we were pretty confident that the VA would back off of it. And they did. So it's not going to go any further, but for anybody who heard about it or was concerned about it, it is a non-issue at this point. The VA has pulled
That's awesome. We appreciate that news. Now, what are we talking about when they passed the ACEs Act?
Okay, the ACEs Act, that is an interesting, it doesn't do a whole lot in at the very, very, at the moment, but they have passed, this Congress passed the Aviator Cancer Examination Study. So this act is going to require the VA to work with the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine to study cancer prevalence, mortality for veterans who served on active duty as air crew members. So this could lead to something, you know, I probably wouldn't say it would be as big as the PACT Act or anything like that, but it could lead to some presumptive conditions for people who are on active duty as air crew members. You know, if they could connect some skin cancers, some cancers related to, you know, jet fuel, things, exposure and things like that. So that's what...
And that, in other words, the chemicals related to that job as an aircraft group, a member.
Exactly.
So that hasn't been accepted in the past.
It has not. Well, they have passed an act saying that the VA has to work with the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine to study this. So
okay.
It's the first
okay.
step. So the first step has been ordered. The VA has been ordered to look at this and to evaluate it. It's the VA. It is not going to be quick, but it is a great first step. You know, it is recognition that this needs to happen, that there is something going on there, that there were exposures, you know, to the chemicals, to the jet fuels, to things like that for air crew members. And it's a really good first step.
Well, how does that relate to the PFASs and the kidney cancer?
So that is something that the VA has actually, they've already done, be able to give you some dates on this. And this unfortunately does show kind of how slowly the VA can work with some of these things. But the VA has, they're doing an assessment regarding a relationship between the exposures to the PFAs and kidney cancer. So they've already passed the part of the process where they have to do the evaluation, that they're just starting with that ACEs Act. So the ACEs Act starts the evaluation specifically for aircrew members. But but currently with the PFAs, they have already done that assessment. They've already worked with the National Organization for Sciences, and they've already gotten their conclusions. So that is going into more of a regulatory part of the VA, where this could actually happen sooner than some of the other things that I've just talked about, particularly the ACEs Act.
Right.
So
right.
The PFAs with kidney cancers is connecting those and making that a presumptive condition is on the horizon. Again, we don't have a date for when exactly that will happen, but that is something that they have already done the study, and now the study is back with the VA, and they're assessing that to determine
awesome.
How they want to
right.
enact that study.
Okay. All right, we're going to we'll break and go to a hard break here, and get a word from our great sponsors that help us produce this show. And without them, as I spoke before, we wouldn't be able to be here. But when we get through with that, we'll come back and we'll be with Miss Laura Holland again. One of these fine lawyers from the Gardberg and Kimberly organization has worked with us over the last 15 years on this show. And we certainly appreciate their sponsorship and in their commitment to our veterans and all the great work that they do. So we shall return shortly to the Scuttlebutt.
Fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, the voice of the veterans for veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing a shot straight around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. If you like to listen on demand, you can also catch us on the FM Talk 106.5 app. And this program here will actually be on the air by tomorrow. So if you missed something and you want to go back and check us out, you can do so. And my tirade is up on castbox.fm if you need to get your blood pressure up a little bit. So, and again, we're speaking with Miss Laura Holland from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmer. Laura, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service to our veterans. And the information that you're bringing forth is just unbelievable. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to share some of this information that I got. I think some of it is going to be very, very relevant to our veterans.
It is, and it's neat that you guys can go to such an event and obtain this information and bring it back to our local troops here, you know, on the coast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, the VA's announced plans to assess, what is that, NASEM's review?
Yes. Yes, so this is very interesting, and it's something that people could kind of get involved with if they wanted to or were interested in. So the VA has published a notice back in February announcing plans to assess the National Academy of Science Engineering Mathematics review of evidence on exposure and neurodegenerative conditions. So they're going to this is sort of an update for the PACT Act, potentially. So they are going to be considering exposure and conditions like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, PLS, myasthenia gravis, peripheral neuropathy, transverse myelitis, neuromyelitis optica, and inclusion body myositis. So these are related to exposures like pesticides, jet fuel, solvents, heavy metals, PFAs and fine particulate matter. So they are going to be holding a public listening session online on May 14th. So there's a way to register. You can go to the VA website, FAQs, and register to listen in on this PACT Act listening session to kind of see what the VA is looking at, what they have found in their assessments, and what the NASEM, what their evidence shows relating to these exposures and these neurodegenerative conditions that will hopefully lead to some additional presumptive conditions being added to the PACT Act in regards to burn pit exposure. Mm-hmm. So that listening session will be on May 14th, noon to 2 Central Time. And if you want to register to listen, you just have to register by April 30th. It's on the VA website. And you can just type in PACT Act listening session May 16th, and it should take you right to it. There should be some very, very interesting information coming out of that listening session.
That being said, I'm sure it will be. That being said, what I wanted to say to our listeners out there, our veterans that may be interested in that, our veterans' relatives that may be interested in that area, if you'll get your pen now and a piece of paper or something, or get your tablet or your phone out to where you can make a recording of it, Lord, give us a repeat that on how we can get into that to view that viewing.
If you go to the I can give you the link, but it is public.gov. It is a very long link with a lot of backslashes. So the best way to do it would be to go to va.gov and type in the search section, public PACT Act listening session, May 14th, 2026. And that should take you to where you can register.
All right.
So
repeat that again.
Listening.
Okay.
Yes, sir. PACT Act listening session, May 14th, 2026. And then that should take you to the section of the website where you can register. And you just need to register by April 30th at noon.
Okay, cool. That's neat. Now, that being said, we can move on to the – I have some questions to you about the TBIs and PTSD ratings. Where are we at with that?
Well, the VA is not going to be changing anything there anytime soon, but we did have a session on kind of pulling out the distinct parts of TBI and PTSD as they're rated within the VA. So there are a lot of overlapping parts when you're looking at the rating schedule or the diagnostic code for TBI and the diagnostic code for PTSD. So the VA has a tendency to want to rate them together and just rate them, give you one rating for either PTSD with TBI or TBI with PTSD and just combine those into one rating, which isn't always in the best interest necessarily of the veteran. If you could have, you know, a 50% rating for TBI and a 50% separate rating for PTSD, obviously, that's going to make your overall rating higher than a combined 50% rating for both. So we did have a workshop on kind of what they're looking at, what the categories are, and how to separate out those categories. Because with TBIs, they're looking at both cognitive, emotional, behavioral, along with physical and subjective symptoms. So obviously, the physical and subjective symptoms that they're looking at with TBIs, those would not be overlapping with the PTSD. But the cognitive and the emotional and behavioral, those could be overlapping with the PTSD. So one thing that we really have to look at is in the diagnostic codes and in the rating schedules, what weight each one gives to the symptoms. So when the VA is looking at cognitive impairments with TBI, they will be looking at things, you know, memory issues and things like that. And that could maybe, if you have memory issues, lead to perhaps a 10% rating with TBI. But if you look at the PTSD ratings and you're having memory issues, depending on the severity of those, that could be, you know, a 50% PTSD rating. So we don't ever want a veteran to only be evaluated for TBI and get that 10% rating when we see that, you know, with these exact same symptoms, they could be rated at 50% for PTSD. So we don't want those to get overridden or ignored and kind of shifted to the lower end of a rating when they could be at that 50% rating. So that's kind of really what they went into in that workshop, is maximizing how you can point the VA in the direction. Because whenever we're looking at these things, we write a brief. And we kind of, and I recommend anybody who is dealing with the VA, don't just send in the form, write something to go along with it, kind of lay out what your symptoms are. And what we do is we really pull out, like I said, how those symptoms connect with either the TBI or the PTSD. And if we see that a veteran could be rated higher under PTSD than they could be under TBI, we're going to push the VA to look at that PTSD rating and say, this is what it showed on their disability benefits questionnaire. This is the problem that they're having with their memory. This is what the PTSD evaluation says. This veteran is entitled to this higher 50% rating. So it's really just getting the VA to kind of look where we need them to look instead of defaulting, you know, maybe an error to the lower rating when they're looking at symptoms that are overlapping with TBI and PTSD.
Well, that being said, and the difference between the declaring it with a 10% versus a 50, I think it would behoove our veterans to work with a lawyer group, whether it be Garberg and Kimberly or whatever. But, you know, we recommend you guys because you're all taking the time to bring this information to our veterans and help promote the fact that this availability is out there and that they shouldn't be going off trying to pay somebody to file a claim for them for $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 and then get a prorated portion of whatever the disabilities there are assigned. Because in reality, that's not legal. So,
that is fraud. And do not, no one should ever charge you up front for doing any kind of VA filing or anything like that. That is absolutely, you know, that is fraud. So
that is fraud, but it's also as federal regulations that are there. So you wouldn't just get a local offense for that. You'd get a federal offense charge for that.
Absolutely. In fact, the VA Inspector General came and spoke with us, and that's who, you know, is in charge. I think she said she has is over about 1,000 officers who investigate all kinds of VA fraud. So they are out there, and we have brought to their attention that these things are happening. And she said that they're on it. They're looking at all kinds of fraud out there, and that's one that they have their eye on in particular. So it is a federal offense.
Right. Well, I tell you, we've really been blessed with you being on with us tonight and bringing forth all of this information. How can some of our people get in touch with you if they have the needs for the services of filing a claim for their VA benefits?
Well, they can go to our website, GardbergLaw.com, or give us a call, 251-343-1111. And we're here to answer questions, and we're here to help veterans.
All right, 251-343-1111, guys. Don't get stuck having to pay a bunch of money. You pay a reasonable fee on there, and it doesn't come out of your pocket. It's money that you're going to pay them. It's the money that you would get for your back pay. So don't get stuck, okay? Thank you, Laura. You did an awesome job.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one. And you can always go to Facebook page for more information. And on the other side of the break, Mr. Robert Stratton with Alabama Career Center. When we return on the Scuttlebutt.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on this Scuttlebutt Network radio program, A Voice of the Veterans for Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm here by myself tonight. Cal said he's on assignment as a sucker's AWOL is what it is. He went over the hill. I don't know where he went, but he went over the hill. Said, we want to thank the fine folks though, that did help make us this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Garberg and Kimberly. And we had one of his gurus on with us tonight there. And also we'd like to thank Miss Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, and Daphne's Hottest Eatery, the waterfront restaurant at number 1 Yacht Club Drive, over in Daphne, then the Charlie Wilson Agency, as well as Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And now we're being joined here by Mr. Robert Stratton from the Alabama Career Center.
Hey, guys.
Robert, welcome to SBN, and I'm hearing Something like you are another jarhead. I don't know where we can handle two in the house at one time.
I resemble that remark.
You resemble that remark.
Fortunately, you could store stuff in there. You just got to put the lid on.
Yep. Well, you know, once we leave Paris Island, you know where they drill that hole and they put all that stuff in there where they indoctrinate us? Sometimes when we leave there, they unplug it and they pull that out so there's a vacant spot in there for us to get when we get to ITR or infantry training or whatever group we get in. And I think your plug has already fell out, hasn't it?
It has fallen out. I've lost it, and I'm looking to retrieve that.
Well, your precious director and glorious leader is here with you tonight.
That's my handler.
Oh, that's your handler. Okay. Yeah, I noticed she'd had her dog tied to a tree.
Yeah, she's observing.
She's making sure you're straight since you're down.
Yes, sir.
You're a new addition to our Mobile Career Center.
Yes, sir.
And give us a little insight about some of your background. Who are you? What, when, where, why? Who are you, baby?
Yes,
sir. How'd you get here?
Again, my name's Rob Stratton. I'm a local veteran employment rep for Lower Alabama, actually, for the Alabama Department of Workforce. And I've been on board for about 6 months. And couldn't have a LEVER, which is what I am, local veteran employment rep, without a DVOP, which that stands for Disabled Veteran Outreach Program Specialist. So we can't have one without the other. We're the VET team for Lower Alabama, for JVSG. I know I'm throwing a lot of acronyms at you. JVSG, JV does not stand for Junior Varsity, I can tell you that.
It's okay.
Jobs for Veterans State Grants.
Okay.
So what we do is we help put veterans to work. And but, you know, on the front end, we've got Keith Battle. Big shout out to him. He's our DVOP, incredible human being, great Navy veteran. He assesses veterans' needs and finds out the barriers for entry into employment. That may be support for mental health support, might be, you know, some vehicle support. You know, who knows what it is. You might need a ride. But there's a very holistic approach to it because – you know, on the other end, once they overcome some of those barriers for entry, there's a warm handoff to me, which is a local veteran employment rep. And by design, I go out into the community and I work with companies and make sure these veterans get hired. So once they're job ready, I will literally go down to that organization and I'll hand them that resume and say, hey, sir, ma'am, you know, this is a squared away individual right here, and it's a qualified fit before I even walk in the door. And they get the understanding that, hey, you know, this guy might be worth taking a second look at. So,
sure.
Yep.
Well, what you're basically saying is you've already vetted them, and you've given them, I guess you'd give them a drug test or whatever, or take your driving record or whatever you have to do or can do.
Yes, sir.
Oh. But so an employer doesn't have to do a lot, or an HR doesn't have to do a lot of groundwork because y'all are able to present them, I guess, with the credentials or criteria of what y'all have investigated or cleared?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we do the vetting process on the front end. We do our due diligence. And again, Keith will make that assessment, have a comprehensive assessment of what that individual really needs and, you know, tailor even a resume for them. If they don't have a resume, get them squared away with that. But yeah, we're excited to be able to help veterans in the community. In fact, we have a big thing tomorrow.
I don't right. know. Right. Yeah. Enlighten us about that project.
Yes, sir. We have tomorrow morning, starting at 9 a.m., 9 to 1 p.m., we have the 2026 annual Gulf Coast Job Fair at Fort Whiting Armory. That's 1630 South Broad Street in Mobile. It starts at 9. 9 to 10 is exclusive to veterans. We've got over 70 companies that are attending.
How many?
70. Yes, sir.
Who are some of these companies that our listeners might recognize?
Well, we've got Airbus. We've got Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. We've got Tuscaloosa Sheriff's Office. We've got folks from Mobile all over. We got Novellus. That's a huge company
that's doing a lot. That's that big plant in the aluminum plant in Bay Minette.
It is, yes, sir. And they are trying to hire, from what I understand, about 300 jobs to the end of the year. And if you've been out to that site, I have. Once you crest that hill, it looks like LAX over there, man.
It does.
It's just massive. But they're good people over there. We're in good contact with them. We're working on several initiatives to help broaden our impact with helping veterans. But tomorrow is a good start for that because we're excited. We're going to have the mayor, the brand new mayor of Mobile. He's going to be speaking after, yes, sir, after about 9:20. And we're going to have Baker High School Color Guard performing there as well.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. Pumped up.
Yep. That's really neat. Well, the fact that it, you know, a guy gets out and he said, well, he's got to burn $50 worth of gas to go around all these places to put in his application and all. Mm-hmm. If you just get dressed up or you make a decent appearance.
Yes.
And if he is a veteran, and, you know, bring some of his records, it's DD-214, I would think. If it's might not even be necessary. I don't know.
No, you can enlighten us on that.
But
sure.
And make yourself available, and you're in front of all these people, and they're ready to hire you. You don't have to go through three clerks to get to the person in HR, the person that's going to do the hiring. This is a hands-on deal. You talk to the person that will get all the processes started.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better than myself, but I will add that, there's no required DD-214 or anything, but there is like self-attestation. That's fine. You come in. We have a mobile unit that's going to be on site as well. So once you make your rounds, and again, to your point, let's put our best foot forward. Let's show up as sharp as we can, whatever that is, make the best of whatever you have, and just, you know, come with a positive mental attitude, and I'm telling you, you're going to get some bites there, because there are companies that are there that are exclusively looking for veterans, but they're also looking for everyone, but they really like the veterans too.
Well, so, you know, and a lot of the companies, I really enjoy having the veterans, because, you know, we're accustomed to getting up at the same time every day.
That's right.
And every morning we know we have to be to work. And then we know that when we get to work that we're supposed to be ready to perform. So they like that training. They like that habit that's been instilled in us while we were in service. And, you know, we get a little bit more work ethics out of our people. And what we do, we're trying to train them out of the street. So, but I know that I was in the industry and owned businesses for 30-something years and worked for other people another 20 years or so. And I was always looking for a good veteran because I knew I wasn't going to have a problem with them.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll tell you what, the Marine Corps definitely reprogrammed what I needed to do in life, and it opened a lot of pathways.
Oh, yes.
So,
yeah.
I'm very proud of my service with the Marine Corps and being able to share some of those experiences and experience that esprit de corps.
Amen.
That a lot of folks kind of lose sight of, and then looking out and lifting each other up and helping each other.
Well,
we need more of that.
And that being said, if you're a company and you may be interested in looking for some employees, a veteran would be a nice place to go. Is there some veterans benefits or some benefits for a company that would hire a veteran or someone from the career center when on the job training type help or something or what?
Yes, sir. That's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. There are quite a few apprenticeships and OJT opportunities that are out there. Austell is one of them. They're looking to hire 700 positions by the end of the year. I've been out there on site, and I've seen what they're building to help support the, I believe it's the MM3 mod, the sub mod that they're building out there. So I'm pretty excited for Austell. Got a lot of traction with helping them however we can. They have a lot of programs where you can sign up for these apprenticeships that are already paid for, where you get to go to schools. I don't want to name too many of the schools just yet. Out of compliance, but it doesn't matter. Bishop State, Remington College, they have some programs as well. But we're very proud because a lot of these guys, they can come on to one of these apprenticeships, like a welding apprenticeship, and they will get paid an hourly wage to get trained.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And then for the entire time.
You don't have to go through a freebie apprentice deal for 30 days to try to, you know, learn a job.
That's right. They'll teach you everything you need to know. Yep. And
All right, we've got a hard break coming up, and we're going to get our commercial breaks in here. Then we'll hear about Tirade, and we'll have a minute or so when we come back. I'll bring Robert back on, and we'll close out with him. But we appreciate you listening to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio, and hang around and listen to the Tirade. I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Here they come, zooming to meet our thunder. Adam, boys, give her the gun.
Coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton. In all the faux outrage over the killing of the Iranian terrorist General Qasem Soleimani, you might have missed the fact that we lost two of our heroes in uniform this weekend. The two soldiers were killed when their vehicle hit an improvised explosive device in Afghanistan, where paratroopers assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division, the Defense Department announced this Sunday. The IED attack took place Saturday in Afghanistan's Kandahar province, which borders Pakistan to the south. Killed in the blast were Staff Sergeant Ian P. McLaughlin, 29, of Newport News, Virginia, and PFC Miguel A. Villon, 21, of Joliet, Illinois, according to a release. Both soldiers were attached to the 307th Brigade Engineer Battalion, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne Division out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I hope that the irony of this event is not lost on the communist Democrats and Trump haters out there, that two members of the 82nd Airborne were killed just days after their fellow soldiers were deployed to Kuwait as part of our quick reaction force in response to heightened tensions with Iran, and they were killed by an IED, which was the calling card of murderer Soleimani. As I mentioned in last week's tirade on American First, McLaughlin, who joined the Army in 2012, leaves behind a wife and four children, while Villon joined in 2018 and is survived by his mother and father. Now, I spent a fair amount of time trying to keep up with the news, especially when it comes to our military and veterans. Yet, I have not been able to find hand-wringing Chuck and Nancy or their Democratic communist thrones over the deaths of these two American heroes, which is a stark contrast to the beatification that the left wanted to bestow upon the very evil Soleimani. Even George Stephanopoulos, heartily conservative Trump supporter, felt the need to challenge the speaker on her support for the protesters in Iran trying to overthrow the hardline mullahs that have run that country since the 1979 takeover by Muslim extremists. Here is the Botox beauty in her own words from the ABC's This Week with Little Georgie.
We're seeing now demonstrations in the streets of Iran against the regime. Do you support those protesters, and would it be a good thing if they brought the regime down?
Well, the protesters are protesting, as I understand it, this brand of protesters, about the fact that that plane went down. And many students were on that plane, and these are largely students in the street. I think the Iranians should have not had commercial flights going off when there
They're calling at the regime for lying. They're saying death to Khamenei as well.
No, well, whatever it is. But the fact is this, there were protesters in the streets before against the regime. After the taking out of Soleimani, there were protesters in the street joined together, as you know, against us. That wasn't good. Taking down this plane is a terrible, terrible tragedy, and they should be held accountable for letting commercial flights go at a time that was so dangerous. But there are different reasons why people are in the street. Of course, we would love to see the aspirations of the people of Iran realized with a better situation there. But escalating the situation, unless we've exhausted every other remedy.
Which we haven't?
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. And if the first first action to be taken on the threat of... There are a lot of bad actors who are doing bad things and threatening bad things to us. We know that, Iran being one of them. And it being its proxies doing bad things to our interest throughout the world. But how do we deal with that in a way that calms rather than escalates?
Now, don't get me wrong. Anyone who has listened to SBN for a few minutes should know that I am no fan of Nancy Pelosi. I believe that she is a vapid hairhead whose Botox injections have seeped into her cranium. How she can think that her comments were in any way coherent are beyond belief. And yet, here she is, the third in line to the presidency, blathering on about just which protesters were out on the streets in Tehran, even though it was widely evident that they were shouting death to the regime and the current Ayatollah Khomeini. The fact that her greatest excuse for not coming out in support of those yearning for freedom under the dictatorial mullahs was that somehow she didn't have all of the facts further demonstrated her lack of intellectual honesty. Either she has failed to receive intelligence briefings that she is privileged to, or she was too busy hitting the cocktail fundraising circuit to remember. I mean, come on. At least Obama, Curry, and the Hildebeest blamed protests on a video that no one had ever seen in order to lie to the American people about Benghazi.
With all due respect, The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Reality is that she is so desperate to remove Trump from office that he could successfully overturn the Iranian regime and replace it with a peaceful democracy, that she would accuse him of stifling the religious freedom of the Islamic terrorist mullahs. Make no mistake about it. Pelosi, Schumer, Schiff, the squad, and their ilk on the left have no real plan to improve America or promote safety and security in the world. All they care about in the end is power, their own damn power. They care not for the average men and women of this nation, even less for our men and women in uniform. They will stop at nothing to destroy this president and his legacy. The Russian investigation, the attacks on his family, the phony impeachment, the constant labeling of Trump as racist, bigot, homophobe, misogynist, and WASP, among other things, are evidence of their guttural, irrational hatred for a duly elected president. What is most galling is that every time they attack President Trump, they also attack each of the red-blooded patriots who support him. I believe that in their blind rage, they have allowed themselves to fall victim to the old axiom that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. This is certainly apparent in the ongoing story of Iran. In other words and actions, Speaker Pelosi and her communist-leaning drones have aligned themselves with the hardliner mullahs in Iran over the people seeking freedom, including patriots such as you and me. I only hope that they realize that they are laying down with the devil in the process, and that is a deal that hardly works out in your favor in the end. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. I guess you could say they have sympathy for the devil.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Radio program and Voice of the Veterans for Veterans on 106.5 FM and streaming live on ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. You're on board with the Top Cat, Tom Claxton, and it's a pleasure to be with you here tonight. And I had a chance to voice the opinion of Cal myself in that little tirade that's a few years old, but it is still dead on. And it's funny how history comes around. And it's funny how some of the same people are involved in our history, so even today. But we are blessed tonight to have Robert Stratton on here with us with the Mobile Career Centers, a Marine veteran.
Hoorah.
Yes. And thank you for your service, brother. And we appreciate all that you're doing for our veterans and trying to get these guys back to work and all.
Yes, sir.
There's some area that we haven't covered there that we were on a while ago that we need to bring forth at this time.
Well, I'd have to say, like, you know, outside of the job fair tomorrow over at Fort Whiting Armory starting at 9 a.m., I would say outside of that, you know, just come by any time to the Career Center, the Alabama Career Center on Spring Hill Court Plaza, where Spring Hill meets I-65. Just come out there any day of the week. If you're a veteran, just come in. If you don't have a DD-214, don't worry about it. Just come on in and, you know, we'll self-attest. You know, we'll validate certain things at some point, but we want to make sure you get taken care of. You have priority of service here, so we want to make sure you get.
So, in other words, you guys are there, and your job is specifically to take care of our veterans and help them walk through whatever process is necessary to get them cleared and certified so that they can make themselves available for a career with some local organization, local company.
100%. And, I mean, Mobile is just booming right now. We are entering into the golden age of Mobile, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of shipbuilding, a lot of manufacturing, a lot of logistics that are going on here. And we've been lucky enough to place 21 veterans with over $1 million worth of wages in the first quarter of this year.
Ooh, that's awesome.
And since September of last year, and I came out, that's when Keith came on board as DVOP. In November, I came in as leaver. Since then, it's been 1.3
$4 million.
Whoa.
And 29 veterans. So we're excited about what we're doing. We love to just, you know, I get excited knowing that there's a veteran out there that needs some help. And we provide that air support, so to speak. And we just get down to the businesses and make sure they're squared away. And
We happen to be talking to you out there tonight and you have a son or some of you guys that, like myself, that have children that are old enough to work.
That's right.
And they're veterans, whether it be a man or a woman, then get them aimed in the right direction. Get them down to the career center, and they'll take care of them if they present themselves there and make themselves available, you know.
Yes, sir.
And they'll do everything within their power to try to find these guys and gals a job, mm-hmm. and get them back into a paying capacity here. And get them over that hump from moving from the enlistment time to time in active service, and you know, get them in a good job, because these companies are looking for veterans. Period. And I'll assure
Absolutely.
You that.
Absolutely.
I know that when I was running my company, if I could have got a good veteran to as a mechanic or a technician or somebody working in a machine shop doing a cylinder head repair or engine repair and things of that nature, then they were the first one on my list that I wanted to hire.
100%, and 100% of life is showing up. So you
all
got
right.
to.
Is there any? We don't need to give out any phone numbers or anything. They actually just need to show up at the facility, right?
That's right. And again, I want to mention tomorrow morning, Fort Whiting Armory, 2026 Annual Gulf Coast Job Fair at 9 a.m. First hour is exclusive to veterans.
Robert, pleasure to have you on board with us tonight. It's been very enlightening, and we appreciate all that you guys are doing, and we appreciate Ms. Lisa being here. And taking your chain loose, letting you talk for a little while.
That's right.
I know
she
runs a tight ship. So.
She's great. Yeah,
but
I really appreciate it.
Sometimes, you know, she being an Army veteran herself, she knows how Marines are. So it's
right.
Uncle Sam's misguided children we are. So.
Yes, we are. Yes, we
so
are.
So they send your mama with you.
That's right.
Take care of you.
You got to stick together.
All right. Well, God bless you all, and we hope that you learned something that would help you here on the Scuttlebutt Network tonight. And remember, the hero is not a four-letter word. Hoorah.
Hoorah.